All right, it looks like we're live. Hey, everybody, it's the Android Headline Show. Tonight is Thursday, April 16th. This is going to be episode 104. My name is Nick, and I'm joined by Alex tonight. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, just couldn't get to the mute button in time.
That's all right, no problem. So we're both broadcasting from different places than usual. I'm in the confines of this lovely hotel room in South Florida, and Alex is in his nice new apartment. So some pretty exciting stuff for both of us, I suppose. On the downside, my headset port decided to die on me, so if there's a bit of an echo, I apologize ahead of time. I did my best to kind of kill that. Tonight, though, we're going to be talking about some upcoming flagships. Some of them probably be pretty big, some of them maybe not so much. The LG G4 is probably the biggest of the two. Well, I guess actually it's more than two, but whatever. The G4 is going to be probably the biggest that we're going to talk about. We'll go into that one first. Huawei also announced a lineup of phones under the P8 name. It's a handful of phones, actually, not just one or two. So that'll be pretty cool to talk about. And then we got the S6 and the S6 Edge in-house. So Alex will do a little hands-on on those, give a little bit of get a little bit more info, and we'll just go over that stuff. So let's go ahead and jump into the G4. So here's what happened. I think it was over the weekend, if I remember correctly. Basically, LG had a little teaser site where they showed off the leather back on G4 along with the f-stop 1.8 lens, but that was all that was on the teaser site. So somebody opened the code, found another little site that the image was linked to, and voila, here's the whole announcement site, complete with pictures, pretty much all the specs we need to know. And just about everything. It's basically an entire announcement of the phone, and obviously somebody at LG screwed up a little bit. So, with that being said, we have lots of info for you. Of course, genuine leather on the back, so it's confirmed that it's actually leather, not pleather or whatever other kind of material that they make look like leather. There's five different colors for that. It looked like six on the site, but the description says five, so whatever, five or six colors. They also have, it's either plastic or metal for the other one. I'm not sure which because they didn't specify. They just said it was a hammered finish. Sounds like metal to me. Kind of looks like metal too. And that comes in three different colors. So we'll find out when the official announcement hits in like a week or so. Of course, you have that f-stop 1.8 camera on the back. So that's a new lens. It's the same, probably very similar lens to what Samsung is using on the S6. Same f-stop rating, so you're gonna have pretty nice low light photography. Some pretty nice bokeh on there. It's a 16 megapixel sensor. We don't know exactly which sensor that is yet. It may very well be the same Sony one that's in the S6 and the Note 4. But again, we'll find out. It's got OIS 2.0, which is pretty sweet because LG was the one that really pushed OIS on smartphones in the first place in really recent history, I think. So they've got some really nice tech going in there. They've also got a new color spectrum sensor. So with the G3, they started this little laser autofocus thing. They're going to have that too. The color spectrum sensor is supposed to do exactly what it says, analyze the color spectrum, figure out what the correct lighting conditions are, and hopefully not give you a picture with a blue tint or a yellow tint or whatever we end up getting with phones sometimes in odd lighting situations. The back in general pretty much looks like the G3, except for the obvious material change that they've done. So, you know, like I said, leather before. The buttons, all that stuff look exactly the same. LG definitely highlighted the removable back on it. It's not a solid thing like the S6 is. It's a 3000 milliamp hour battery, and it has a micro SD card. So they like to push those little bullet points in there and say, hey, guess what, Samsung? We're doing it even if you don't want to. What's really going to be interesting is they're still doing the 5.5-inch display. So it should be basically the same size as the G3, maybe a hair smaller, depending on what they do with the bezels. It's going to be a Quantum IPS Quad HD display. So I don't know about you, Alex, but I hated the display on the G3. I think the problem is they did this crazy over sharpening filter on it, and it made everything just look weird.
I don't know if I'd go as far as I say I hate it, but it wasn't the best display out there.
Hate's a little strong, yes, but I think I was just sorely disappointed by them using that.
those early Sony displays, like on the Z and the Z1, were pretty bad.
Yeah.
Especially with that built-in screen protector. What's interesting with this is it looks like the back buttons are different from the G Flex 2. The G Flex 2, they're a bit more squarish, I guess I could say. I actually don't have it here. It's in a different room where I'd show it. But the G Flex 2, like the power button is more square and has a little bit more space on either side for the volume rocker, like on the left and right side. Camera looks a little different too. I think
the lens looks a little bit different. Yeah.
And because the G Flex 2, that those back buttons were redesigned, so I figured they'd stick with that for the G4, but looks like they're not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting. I think I like the buttons on the G3 better than the G Flex 2, if I remember correctly from using both of them.
Yeah, the G3 has some pretty good buttons.
Yeah, I like
they're better than that. The G2 was a little bit more difficult, although I think the Verizon one was the worst because I had to change the buttons too.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Verizon. Yeah. Software, at least in the screenshots, looks the same as the G3 on Lollipop, of course. Like I said, once the announcement comes, we'll see. They highlighted a few new features in these pictures. They have the little smart messaging thing that they have on there. They got a new smart calendar. And they also highlighted the fact that they have a fast gallery, which, again, I feel like is a little dig at Samsung because
their gallery. I guess I haven't used the S6 then.
Well, that would be the first time in a long time Samsung has fixed that. So we'll see how that goes. They're really pushing the camera on this one. The camera software looks like it got a pretty big overhaul, including a brand new manual mode that has some serious information all over the screen. You got raw mode, a whole bunch of nice stuff. So it looks like, you know, the camera is getting pushed yet again this year as a really big seller.
They did a great job with the camera last year, and even the year before that on the G2, the camera was really good. I mean, for a 13-megapixel sensor, I think it stood up there with the 16-megapixel one on the Note 4, because I think the S5 was a 13, and then Sony's keeping with their 20 for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Sony's cameras is always good, but, you know, for them to throw in a 13 and just get those type of pictures. The laser autofocus was really good, too.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how much faster that makes it, because they were touting that it's world's fastest autofocus in the thing. And yeah. I know since the G3 came out, the S6 and the iPhone 6 have surpassed it quite a bit in terms of focusing.
Yeah, well, we'll see on April 28th.
Yeah.
Well, less than 2 weeks from now.
Not very far away at all.
What's interesting is that, well, like you said, the software does look a lot like the G3 on Lollipop and even the G Flex 2 on Lollipop. But LG said that they're doing an entirely new UI, like totally revamped.
It's
and they also said that'll be announced ahead of the G4, so I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll probably see that press release in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, at the very least, it seems like they're sticking with a similar visual look to it. So from the G2 to the G3, it was a vastly different look. Whereas this one's probably a much smaller visual leap, but maybe a bigger features and layout leap or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm hoping at least for proper quick toggles on this one. The rest of it, I don't have as big of a problem with.
The only thing I have a problem with like the back is the seam down the middle for the leather. I don't know how that's gonna wear. I mean, like, I'm sure you've seen the pictures of the Moto X in leather, how they look now after being used for what, about 6 months now. I'm not sure how that's gonna look.
Yeah, it's a very good question, and I know a lot of people I've talked to don't really care for the look of the stitch in the middle, so. I don't know. It could be one of those things that you need to see in person to really get it. I know sometimes with these things, the renders just, they don't really do it justice. So speaking of renders that may or may not have been Photoshopped, Huawei announced the P8 and a number of other phones bearing the same name. So we'll start with the main one, which is just called the Huawei Ascend P8. That's going to use their new, actually, I guess this isn't really the new one. Maybe it's slightly newer version of the Kirin 930. That's their own in-house 64-bit octa-core processor. This one's got a 5.2-inch 1080p screen, so no quad HD. Just like LG, they are touting their camera. This one's a 13-megapixel RGBW sensor. That sort of sensor, not the exact same one, but a similar kind, was used in the Moto X, probably most notably. Basically, that extra pixel on each one is supposed to improve low light stuff. So basically introduces a luminance detecting element to the sensor, and that gives it not only color information, but also light information. So Huawei is saying that it's going to be 32% higher brightness in high contrast situations and 78% less color noise in low light. So if you've ever used a 13 megapixel sensor and turned the denoise off, you know there's a lot of color noise in low light, a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that is just them working on their denoise filters and how much of it is actually a better sensor. It's also got OIS. They're touting it works up to 1.2 degrees in movement, which is supposedly better than anybody else in the market. I couldn't find any numbers on the other phones, but
yeah, I couldn't either. But yeah, but that's what Huawei was saying during their press conference yesterday. So
yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen anybody mention degrees of movement for OIS. Yeah. So I assume that means quite a bit. I'll have to look into that a little further though. The phone is thinner than the iPhone 6 and the Galaxy S6, and apparently has no camera bump, which is very impressive. I'm wondering if they're using a similar tech to what Apple just bought. I don't know if you saw that Middle Eastern company, or I can't remember which. I think it was a Middle Eastern company that Apple bought that has like half-size sensors. That's supposedly to get rid of that bump. 3 gigs of RAM. What's interesting that they're doing is they're making a standard model, which is going to be 499 euros. That comes with 16 gigs of storage and no way to expand it, which I don't. That seems like a questionable decision, because the premium one at 100 euros more is not only 32 gigs of onboard storage, but it also has a micro SD slot. I don't know why they would take the micro SD slot out of the other one, but whatever.
A lot of people are saying the 16 gigabyte one is going to be like super cheap, but it comes out at 499 euros, and converted, that's $530. It's only like 60 bucks cheaper than the entry model Galaxy S6.
Yeah.
That's not that cheap to me.
Nope. It's an aluminum build, so it's a more premium phone than Huawei usually makes. Same size battery as the S6.
I was going to say their SNP line, like the P6 and P7. Yeah. I actually have the P6 somewhere. Those are always like all aluminum.
Yeah.
Like, because that's their high end stuff. Yeah. The Mate 7 was all aluminum as well. Well, obviously, except for the front, that was glass. But, you know, like the Honor, that's their, you know, cheap stuff, like Moto G-ish, you know. So it's not going to be aluminum. It's going to be the cheap stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it should be a pretty nice build. This has a Motion UI 3.1. So this is an update to the 3.0 that just came out in December. I guess the biggest change here is probably Lollipop. And if you watch the promo videos that Huawei released, they have a very clear HTC influence on this newest build. So it looks like the launcher is very, very much Blinkfeed. I'm sorry. I had a brain dead there for a moment. Very Blinkfeed looking launcher. They even have the dot view case, which I think, I don't remember what they called it. This is basically a dot view case, kind of same kind of thing. I'm fine with that. I really like the dot view case. It's great stuff. This thing's going to be available in 30 countries and not the US. So lots of other places. I don't know if that's yet again another. I won't go into the spy thing, but I'm wondering if just ramifications from that still.
What they did say is a variant of the P8 will be coming to the U.S. this summer. I'm guessing it's going to be like the SN Mate 2 last year, where it launched with their own processor. But when they brought it to the U.S., it came with the Snapdragon 400. So I'm guessing maybe it's going to have, you know, maybe a Snapdragon, probably not 810, given all the stuff that has got wrong with it right now.
Yeah, but
and that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I guess it could just be like an LTE band thing. Maybe they have
problems yeah.
with LTE bands or whatever. Who knows?
They may also not be certified for T-Mobile and AT&T because that was a big issue for MediaTek, and they just got certified for T-Mobile LTE.
Nice. Okay, yeah, because I know all of these new P8 phones have LTE on them, so yeah. It's just a matter of, I guess, just whatever they're doing with that. Hopefully we'll see the Kirin stuff over here because those are pretty nice processors. The next one in the line is the P8 Max, which is essentially the same internal specs. Biggest difference is obviously the size. They went full ham on this one. It's a 6.8-inch 1080p display. So if you thought the Xperia Z Ultra was big, move over because this thing is a tablet. There's no way to call this anything else. It is massive. They're saying that it has a 13-megapixel professional-grade sensor. I'm assuming they used the space to give it a nicer, maybe a 1-inch sensor or something, but they didn't really go into the details on that. Given the fact that they were really touting the one in the P8, I assume this is better. But again, I'll have to wait for a little more details on that one. They went crazy with the battery, which is really nice to see. 4360 milliamp hour battery, which is it's just awesome. Hopefully it makes up for the size and the display difference. And it's supposed to be just as thin, too. But I think it was 6.8 millimeters. Dual SIM, smart cover. €549 for the standard. And another same kind of thing, €100 more for the premium. So $649. They didn't seem to go into what the differences were on those two quite as clearly. So we'll have to see when they come out with more of a listing for that sort of thing. Last but I guess not least would be the P8 Lite, which is a slimmed down version in every way except for the physical dimensions in terms of thinness. It's not going to be fully metal. It's probably going to have some metal on it, but maybe mostly plastic. Maybe you get like a metal trim or something. It's a 5-inch 720 by. It's the Kirin 620. So it's still an octa-core, but it's at 1.2 gigahertz instead of 2 gigahertz. So significant decrease in speed there. Makes it cheaper, better on battery, whatever. 2 gigs of RAM.
It's also a different processor. It's the 920 instead of the 930.
Yeah. So 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gig internal. This actually has a micro SD for the 16 gig, which is great to see. It just says 13 megapixel camera. I don't know if that's going to be the same one as on the P8 or not, but I don't know. It probably won't be as good one, especially since it's going to be cheaper. They did not give a price, but they did say it will be cheaper. So, and then of course, like I said earlier, LTE on all of these, which is great for any less expensive phone. Most of those only ship with HSPA. So that's quite a lineup from Huawei. I think we'll be seeing those in the next couple of weeks or months. And then of course, you got, like I said, 30 different countries for all of those. None of those specific variants are coming to the U.S., so we'll have to wait a little longer to see what they're going to be doing. We want to move on to the S6 and S6 Edge stuff?
We have both of them here.
Yes.
So you got the S6 Edge right here and the regular S6 here. I just have the fingerprint thing set up on the S6, not the Edge. The fingerprint is a whole lot better than the S5. You just put your finger on it. Unlike the Meizu MX 4 Pro that we both used, you can't go straight from the lock screen and put your finger on it and unlock it. You have to press the power button or the home key and then do it. But it does work. Right now I have it set up for two fingers, so I can use either finger to unlock it. I think you could probably set up all 10, but it just takes too long because it takes a while to set up one.
Yeah.
It's really fast. Like we were saying earlier with the gallery, before when you would open it, it would take quite a while to load up. Now it's pretty much instant. But I also did notice that on the Note 4, because I do have the Verizon Note 4 on Lollipop right now, and it's pretty quick on there as well. So maybe it's a Lollipop, part of their Lollipop update. The camera, it's amazing. I meant to send you a picture earlier this week. Where is it? It might be on the Essex Edge. But it was not. It was outside in pretty much complete darkness, and I couldn't really find any noise at all.
Not bad, yeah. I'll definitely have to take a look.
That's the picture there. I mean, obviously you're not going to be able to see if there's any noise, but
yeah,
like zooming in, I don't really see any noise at all, which is pretty crazy. The shutter is really fast, like the M9 is, but obviously it takes better pictures because it doesn't use a Toshiba sensor. touchless is slimmed down, but it'll still be familiar to, you know, Samsung users. For the most part, it still looks pretty much the same, but it's got a little bit more material design in it than, you know, we've seen really ever from Samsung. So it's faster, you know. It is still pretty familiar. Like, even if you go into, like, the motion and gestures, you can't really see it, but they've slimmed that down, so there's only, like, a few things in there now. Let's see, can you see it? No, nope. Oh, there's only 4 in there now instead of, what, like 200, I think, before.
A lot that I'm sure a lot of people never used. I know that was one of the first things I always turned off because I just never use it.
Yep. And you know the lag from pressing the home button? That's gone.
Yes.
Because now it doesn't use it for S voice. You double tap it and you get to the camera instead.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So did they completely get rid of S voice?
No, it's still there. I just haven't used it.
Okay, so it's...
It's supposed to be here. It might be... you might have to go in and download it then, because I don't see it under their apps.
Hopefully it is an optional thing. That way nobody will ever download it again.
Yeah. Because under their apps, it's Hancom Office 2014, Memo, Milk, My Files, Peel Smart Remote, and Voice Recorder. That's it.
Nice. That's great to see.
Yep.
Keep all that junk off of there.
Well, the carriers put a whole lot more junk on here.
Yes. I've seen AT&T's laundry list. It's quite insane.
Sprint is pretty insane compared to some of their older phones, like from late last year. You used to see like 2 or 3 from them. Now on this one, there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 9, and I actually disabled a couple, like Lookout, I think.
Yeah, I know, that's a Lookout, please.
The only thing I don't like about the Galaxy S6, and well, the Edge as well, is the fact that, well, because it's glass, when you put it on a wireless charger, it slides off. So if you don't put it like at the right spot, it'll keep sliding back and forth. So it'll be charging, not charging, charging, not charging. It'll just keep beeping all day long instead of charging.
Yeah, that's irritating.
Yeah. I mean, the camera.
Find one that's magnetic or locks in there or something.
Yeah. The camera bump does help a little bit. So that's why I said you have to put it on at a certain angle so that it'll keep it from moving around.
Yeah, I was gonna ask them that, a little better with that.
Other than that, they're both great phones. Battery life has been all right. I've been able to get through a full 24 hours, but that's with like 2-3 hours on screen time, not heavy use because I'm using both of them at the same time.
Yeah,
I can never get 6 hours anyways. I just don't use my phone that much.
Yeah, and I don't use my phone that way either. I got friends that can get like 6-7 hours out of a Nexus 6, and if I use it, I get 3-3.5. You know, I don't know what the heck I do differently, but it's something.
I mean, I can get like 5 hours off the Z3, but that's if I'm using it literally all day.
Yeah.
I don't do that because I'm sitting in front of a computer most of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes
sense. That's the buying usage. That's the S6 and the S6 Edge. The review should be out probably Saturday, I'm guessing. Maybe Sunday. Depends on when I get the finishing touches on there. Nice. We got a whole lot more content. I've got lots of camera comparisons, because I have the Note 4 to compare it to, the M9, the Z3, the Nexus 6. So many devices to compare the cameras with.
Yes, this will be very good. Always one of my favorite parts of any review and any bunch of features afterwards.
Yeah. You want to skip to the top 10 smartwatches for April?
Sure, you got that?
As soon as Chrome loads it, but... Okay, here you go. Number 10, and this one's kind of surprising to me, the Pebble. And then we have the Gear 2, then the Gear Live, the G-Watch, and then Pebble Steel is also on here. The Sony Smartwatch 3, the Gear S, the Asus ZenWatch, and then the LG G-Watch R. And at number one is still the Moto 360.
I like it.
We also have another feature that actually just went live probably about an hour ago. It's our best U.S. carrier plans for the month. Basically, we go through the four major carriers, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint. And we break down the what it costs on prepaid versus postpaid, and then with for family lines. So they haven't really changed much compared to last month, but... you know, it all depends on coverage. Really, T-Mobile and Sprint are the cheapest, but it also depends on coverage in your area. So, yep. Like, for me, T-Mobile is a whole lot better than Sprint here. I mean, it's 70 versus, like, 20 to 30 megabits. So, I could live with either one, but T-Mobile is a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, and I know I've seen, I think I told you earlier, there were still a bunch of spots where I was getting Edge only on T-Mobile for the longest time. And just in this past week, I noticed that I'm checking something on my phone or whatever as I'm at a light, and hey, I've got LTE, what the heck, you know? Like, they've been doing pretty good. They're supposed to be switching out like half their network, their Edge network, I'm sorry, for LTE this year. So it seems like they're well underway if all those sites, I didn't think those were ever going to get fixed. There's like nothing in those areas. There's not even anybody that lives over there. So
sometimes I drop the Edge over here, but it's like weird when it happens. If I switch the Wi-Fi and back off, it's off of Edge. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's so much just the tower, but maybe just so many people. But I think everybody here has Verizon anyway. So because Verizon is blazing fast over here. I mean, I'm talking like 70, 80 or higher.
They spent all that money up there. Hopefully it is, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I did say Wayne and Oakland County, so that's mostly all the Southeast Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about it for this week.
Sweet. All right, well, I hope everybody out there enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe to us on all the things, as we always like to say. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram as Android Headline without the S, Google Plus and Facebook, Pinterest, and of course YouTube as Android Headlines with the S. So as usual, we're going to have plenty of content on any of those social networking sites. YouTube, we always like to put hands-on videos, unboxing videos, all that good kind of stuff. So be sure to check out all those and the site as well for plenty of content. Have a good week, and I'll see you all later.
See you, everybody.